Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Made in Melbourne, for Australia and the world. This is the Joy 94.9 GLBTIQ News Roundup, a weekly update of what's been happening in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans and intersex communities.
G'day and welcome to QNN. I'm Alastair Kingston.
And I'm Adam Samuel. It's been reported the Australian government will confirm its policy on a same-sex marriage vote within the next week or two. After the recent party room vote on same-sex marriage, Prime Minister Tony Abbott noted the coalition would continue binding MPs against reform until the next federal election, due next year, and that the party was working on a new position centering on a plebiscite or referendum. However, the Australian Greens have presented a cross-party bill to the Senate to ensure any plebiscite or vote is not held on the PM's terms. The party says the vote must be at the next federal election at the latest, and that Parliament, not the Prime Minister, must shape the question that is asked of the public.
New figures show in the 2 years since same-sex marriage was legalised in New Zealand, more than 1,200 couples have tied the knot. Tellingly, while civil unions are still available, the number of couples taking this option has plummeted over the past few years, from 303 in 2012 to just 51 last year. A large number of overseas couples continue to head to New Zealand to marry, including Australians, with 391 foreigners getting hitched there in 2014. New Zealand passed its marriage equality bill in April 2013 in a 77-44 vote after only a two-hour debate.
Still overseas, and the White House has hired its first transgender official. Rafi Friedman-Gerspan has been appointed as an outreach and recruitment director for presidential personnel. She previously worked as a policy advisor for the National Center for Transgender Equality's Racial and Economic Justice Initiative. Trans advocates hailed the appointment as a vital step forward for the LGBT community and for ensuring the US government includes the voices and experiences of all Americans.
In other US news, Texas has welcomed its first gender dysphoria clinic, a big step for the otherwise conservative state. The Children and Adolescent Gender Clinic opened earlier this month and aims to work with youth and their parents as they journey through their transitions. Leading the charge is Dr. Hector Granados, who says there's nothing wrong with being heterosexual, it's just more common. Just like there's nothing wrong with being transgender, it's just less common.
It's been revealed the man accused of a stabbing attack at Jerusalem's gay pride parade had previously been convicted of a similar attack. The Jerusalem Post reports Yeshai Schlessel, who's been charged with murder and 6 counts of murder during the July attack, had previously served 10 years in jail for stabbing 3 people at the city's 2005 pride parade. Meantime, a committee examining Israel's police performance before and during the parade is expected to recommend 5 senior officers be removed from their posts after intelligence reports failed to identify Schlessel as a potential security threat to the event.
Briefly now, Emma Watson has taken to Twitter to praise Britain's first active rugby league player to come out as gay, calling Keegan Hurst courageous and a hero.
Thousands of people took to the streets of Glasgow for Scotland's largest LGBT pride parade.
The UN Security Council's had its first ever briefing on LGBTI issues, with a focus on atrocities allegedly committed by Islamic State against same-sex attracted people in Iraq and Syria.
And Adelaide marks 40 years since the decriminalisation of homosexuality in South Australia.
And what's the best way to get back at anti-LGBTI protesters? We'll find out straight after QNN Sport with Tanya Lewis.
Aussie opera singer Cannon Breen has copped a gay slur while performing the national anthem during an international basketball game. The 42-year-old wore a rainbow tie while performing at the Australia-New Zealand match at Rod Laver Arena last week when he was loudly called a faggot by a spectator.
These guys will be feeling it, standing by for the Australian national anthem.
Afterwards, Breen said he wore the tie to support marriage equality and was moved by the support he received from friends and the public on social media. And finally, the Human Rights Commission has launched a survey which will record the experiences of the gender diverse community in sport. Tim Wilson announced the survey last Thursday in the hopes of developing a more inclusive framework to protect trans and intersex members of the community.
Thanks, Tanya. In the middle of their latest protest, the Westboro Baptist Church were interrupted by none other than the Foo Fighters, who appeared on the back of a ute playing a little Rick Astley. Best Rickroll ever.
And that's what's being rickrolled into your LGBT news this week. I'm Alistair Kingston.
And I'm Adam Samuel.
Thanks to the team at QNN. That was the Joy 94.9 GLBTIQ News Roundup. To hear this update again, you can subscribe to the QNN podcast, available at joy.org.au/QNN. Or you can follow QNN on Twitter at QNN Australia. At QNN Australia.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.